Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Today in Iowa, Republican Senator Chuck Grassley held a conference call with local reporters, and in that call he said, quote, "You know, I could maybe give you 10 reasons why this bill shouldn't be considered." He was talking about Graham Cassidy, the latest attempt by Senate Republicans to repeal and replace Obamacare. But lest you think that Grassley was saying he's a hard no on the bill, the Des Moines Register reported that he went on to say, quote, "But Republicans campaigned on this so often that you have a responsibility to carry out what you said in the campaign." Well, that was his justification for a health care reform bill that many policy analysts say could be even more damaging than the Senate's last attempt. And that previous bill had a cratering 12% approval rating amongst voters. It did not pass. So what is going on? And why does Graham Cassidy seem to be building momentum towards a vote in less than 10 days? Joining us now to explain is Julie Rovner, chief Washington correspondent for Kaiser Health News. She joins us from D.C. Julie, it's great to have you back.
Always nice to be here.
Okay, so last time we talked, I thought that the Senate GOP's efforts to repeal and replace Obamacare had kind of hit a brick wall. So where did Graham Cassidy come from?
Well, we all thought it had kind of hit a brick wall, too, and that's because Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell said that it was over. And he did say, you know, he pulled the bill. People don't remember this. The bill didn't fail last summer. McConnell pulled it before it was over.
Yeah.
So there was always the possibility that it could come back. And he said afterwards, if there was a bill that could get 50 votes, he would bring it back up. So that promise had been lying out there. And, you know, Senators Graham and Cassidy, and now with the help of Senators Heller from Nevada and Johnson from Wisconsin, have been sort of, you know, doing their due diligence. And nobody gave them, you know, paid very much attention to them until pretty much last week when they went to the majority leader and they said, we're within striking distance. And if you helped give us a push, then maybe we can actually get this through. And so the leadership has indeed been pushing it. And, you know, all of a sudden it looks like they are indeed within striking distance of getting the 50 votes that they would need. But they have this deadline coming up, which is next Saturday at midnight. They would have to get this through the Senate. And if they couldn't, then they would need 60 votes to get something done.
I see. So but if they do it before October 1st, then they can do it with the 50 votes.
That's correct.
Okay.
They're working under a budget process that ends with the fiscal year on September 30th.
Got it. So there were many Republicans or some Republicans who had concerns over, you know, previous versions of repeal and replace because of major cuts that were proposed to Medicaid or Medicaid expansion that happened under the Affordable Care Act. But does Graham Cassidy do anything to allay those concerns? Because I'm seeing that it's making even deeper cuts.
It is making even deeper cuts. This is, you know, this is basically a question of the imperative to get this done, as Senator Grassley was talking about, versus the actuality of what's in it. And, you know, this is more than just repealing the Affordable Care Act, because this also caps the underlying Medicaid program. That was not part of the Affordable Care Act. The Affordable Care Act expanded Medicaid. This bill would end that expansion, but this bill would also limit how much states could get from the federal government for Medicaid. So it would make much deeper cuts than just a straight repeal of the Affordable Care Act would.
Okay, so the regular Medicaid part I want to get to with you in just a second, but about the Medicaid expansion portion, I'm seeing here that the Graham Cassidy bill would essentially redistribute the federal money that was once allotted or currently is allotted to the 30 states that opted to expand Medicaid under the Affordable
That's
Care
right.
Act, and they would
mm-hmm.
spread it out. It would spread it out amongst all the 50 states.
It's even more than that. They take all of the sort of benefits from the Affordable Care Act. So there are premium subsidies to help people afford insurance, these cost-sharing reductions that we've been arguing about for the last couple of months that help low- and moderate-income people who have private insurance pay their out-of-pocket costs, their deductibles and copayments, and the Medicaid expansion money. So those three pots of money, they take them, they put them in one great big pot, and then they redistribute them to the states. But what happens is that you've got 20 states that didn't expand Medicaid, so they're not getting that that money now. So basically, they've created this formula where those states would get more money and the states that expanded Medicaid would get less money. So, and, you know, in general, not completely, but in general, those are the states, you know, more money would go to states that have two Republican senators and less money would go to states that have two Democratic senators.
Well, and some of those states, I mean, obviously Massachusetts being one of them, could see their Medicaid expansion dollars cut anywhere from 35% to 60%. Now, Julie, I want to play a little bit of tape here because just yesterday, Senator Lindsey Graham, you know, while on the one hand railing against what he sees as socialism in the Affordable Care Act, was saying that under Graham Cassidy, things would be more fair for all the 50 states and that any senator who votes against the bill is voting for an unfair system. And here's what he said.
You believe it's okay to help California, New York, Maryland, and Massachusetts more than Missouri. That's just what a Democrat would have to face if they voted no. If you're a Republican and you vote against federalism, you got to explain to people back home why Washington knows better.
Well, so this is interesting because there's maybe a political calculus there, like you were talking about, Julie, because a lot of blue states expanded under Obamacare. But some red states did, too. Arizona, North Dakota, these are states that could face some pretty big cuts as well.
And red states can still expand. They can't get the 100% match that was there for the first 3 years. But the match only goes down eventually to 90%. The federal government will pay 90% for the expansion population. In fact, a number of red states have been considering expanding. Alaska was the most recent state to expand. So and then Louisiana, where they got a Democratic governor. But there's nothing to stop those red states that aren't getting this money now from expanding and getting the money.
But then the bill says in 2027, an end to the Medicaid expansion dollars entirely.
Well, it's not just an end to the Medicaid expansion dollars. It's an end to all of the money. It's the premium subsidies and the cost sharing reductions and the Medicaid expansion. That whole big pot of money goes away. And originally, I thought that that was because they're doing this under a budget process. You're not allowed to raise the deficit outside the 10-year budget window. But it turns out that's not the case because they keep the taxes, most of the taxes. So they wouldn't be adding to the deficit by leaving it intact. So I'm not quite sure why they end it, but they do. So all of this money goes away after 2026, and then the states are basically left on their own to figure out what to do.
Okay. So that's the Medicaid, part of the Medicaid picture here with Graham Cassidy. What about other things that are currently guaranteed under Obamacare? Pre-existing conditions.
Basically, the way this works is that they give the money to the states and they tell the states, do whatever you want with it. Sort of health. It does have to be healthcare related, but it gives them the ability. And this has been one of the fights all year about whether you can, quote unquote, waive some of these requirements in the Affordable Care Act that people who are sick be charged the same as people who are well, that they have to cover certain benefits, that they can charge old people only three times as much as they can charge young people. Those are the three main ones. Those can all be waived under this. Now, the Senators Cassidy and Graham have been sort of fighting back at people who say that the pre-existing condition protections would go away, saying, well, states would, you know, have to say how they're going to protect people with pre-existing conditions. And that's true. States would have to sort of address that. But that's not the same as saying that states would have to actually do it. States could do it in any number of ways. If you don't have the required benefits, if you waive those, then insurers could offer benefits, but they might not cover everything. So I think there was an example of, you know, somebody with diabetes might end up in a plan that doesn't cover prescription drugs.
Huh. Well, I mean, to that point, I mean, just yesterday, interestingly, Senator Cassidy replied to a tweet from NPR because NPR had tweeted that people with pre-existing conditions, the bill would remove any guarantee of coverage. And just 2 hours later, Senator Cassidy tweeted back saying false. Under the bill, states must ensure that individuals with pre-existing conditions have access to adequate and affordable insurance. I mean, is that a distinction without a difference, though, based on what you were just explaining, Julie?
It is. It's just the way it's written. I mean, they've written it in such a way that this issue has to be nodded to, but it doesn't. It's not at all the same as what's in the law now that says that there is a requirement that plans must cover these benefits and that they cannot charge people with pre-existing conditions more. There's even a provision in the bill that somebody unearthed that would effectively let insurance companies raise premiums during the plan year if somebody got sick, not even waiting for the next year.
Well, so since we're mentioning Senator Cassidy here, just yesterday, He was talking about, again, why he thinks his bill is the right way to go for America. And in fact, he related back to his own work with low-income patients in Louisiana. And here's what he said.
It's been my life's work to try and bring health care and coverage to those who do not have. So when a fellow back home named Moon Grafon with a special needs child tells me that he's paying over $40,000 a year in premiums plus a $5,000 deductible and more money on top of that, we know that the system is failing.
So some common critiques there of the Affordable Care Act. But is there anything in Graham Cassidy, you were talking about this a second ago, but is there anything that would guarantee premiums being held down, stabilization of insurance markets? I'm not seeing it.
No, absolutely. No, basically what the argument is let the states decide. We're going to give the states less money than they're getting now, and they can figure out how to do it. That's effectively what Graham Cassidy does. Now, that's not to suggest that everything is great with the Affordable Care Act. Everything is most certainly not great with the Affordable Care Act. Lots of people are paying more than they can afford. There are big problems, but there was a bipartisan effort to address some of those problems, and it basically got the plug pulled on it yesterday by the leadership, who said it's distracting from this effort to pass this report. You should stop doing this.
So, Julie, suddenly it occurs to me, and this should have occurred to me a long time ago. Maybe there is something to the Republicans' arguments that states can do it better. I mean, I'm sitting right here in Massachusetts. People's Exhibit A of, like, we got almost 100% coverage, but Massachusetts did it on its own with its own version, or, you know, early version of what became Obamacare. So why can't the states do it better?
Well, dirty little secret, Massachusetts had this big cache of federal money that it used.
Oh, the money!
When it did it. Sorry about that. I was at a conference in Michigan with a bunch of state representatives and a bunch of visitors from Massachusetts, and Michigan was trying to figure out how they could, this was before the Affordable Care Act, but after Massachusetts, and trying to figure out how they did it, and the Massachusetts officials finally kind of looked down and said, well, you know, we had this big pot of money that Senator Kennedy helped us keep, and suddenly all the Michigan officials' sort of faces fell, because it's expensive to cover people with health care. Massachusetts did a very good job, but they also had the money to do it with.
Okay. So, you know, it's interesting because President Barack Obama actually felt the need to speak out about this just today. And he was at the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, and he was talking about how, you know, he was just feeling frustrated that, in his words, for the 50th or 60th time, again, some embellishment there from the former president, an attempt.
Not much.
Actually, that's true. Attempt to repeal and replace Obamacare. He said he was frustrated, and then he went on to say this.
It frustrates. And it's certainly frustrating to have to mobilize every couple of months to keep our leaders from inflicting real human suffering on our constituents. But, you know, typically, that's how progress is won and how progress is maintained on every issue.
So President Barack Obama there still feeling optimistic at the end. But do we know, there's no CBO score on this. So do we even have any sort of estimate on how Graham Cassidy, if passed, would affect, you know, just overall number of insured, uninsured in America?
Well, judging from what's in it that was in previous iterations, there are estimates that it would be around 32 million people who would probably lose coverage. Hard to know what would happen to premiums because you have no idea what 50 different states are going to do. And there's been an estimate that after 2026, when the block grant ends, that basically the federal government will have saved $4 trillion, that there will be $4 trillion less in federal money going to the states for health care. It's a lot of money.
A huge amount. So how close is this bill to passing? I mean, where does McCain stand? Where does Murkowski stand? Collins?
It's pretty close. I mean, you know, there are 52 Republicans in the Senate. They need 50, so Mike Pence, vice president, could break the tie. And there are basically four senators that we're looking at who might peel off. And one of those is Rand Paul from Kentucky, who's a very libertarian. And he has insisted that he's a no. Susan Collins, everybody assumes, is a no, although she hasn't said it, but she hasn't voted for any of these plans. And then sort of the two who are on the bubble are Senator John McCain from Arizona, Senator Lisa Murkowski from Alaska. They've both been very coy. They will not say. Senator McCain has continued to say he wants regular order, which would suggest not this process.
This process meaning no hearing, or maybe one or two
hearings,
no CBO score.
Well, there'll be one hearing on Monday afternoon, and then a half a CBO score, basically. And it's not clear, but he's very close with Lindsey Graham, who's, you know, one of the leaders of this. So no one knows what McCain will do. And Murkowski keeps saying she wants to see how this plays out. So we're just basically waiting to see what these last handful of senators, and if, you know, there's a number of other undecideds, there could be somebody who would pop up later who hasn't been on anybody's radar screen.
It does continue to astonish me, Julie, that this is the process by which Washington is following to make major decisions on a fifth of the U.S. economy.
This is not a normal process. I mean, I keep saying this all year. This is not, you know, for people who are only tuning in now, this is not how Congress typically works.
Well, Julie Rovner, Chief Washington Correspondent for Kaiser Health News, bringing us up to speed on Graham Cassidy, the latest attempt to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act. It is always such a pleasure to speak with you, Julie. Thank you so very much.
You too. You're very welcome.
Listeners, let us know what you think. Massachusetts could stand to lose billions of dollars if this passes, but maybe the GOP is right. Maybe states can do it better. Send me a tweet at Radio Boston. We'll be back. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.